What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And welcome to our show today. It is Monday, May 24th, 2021, start of a brand new week of utter insanity, corruption, and life goes on as usual here in the United States of America. We've got a lot to talk about today. A lot of stuff is going on here. And as usual, we're going to do news until we run out of news. Then we're going to open up our phone lines for your comments, questions, and observations. A quick reminder that Cynthia McKinney will be on our show tomorrow in the second hour talking about her new book about the COVID virus, the involvement of American interests in developing what appears to have been a potential biological weapon. We're looking forward to that. Mike is in our control room twiddling the dials and keeping us out of trouble. So let's get right on into it. Over in Washington, D.C., 2,000 National Guard troops are finally getting ready to go home, 5 months after the January 6th Capitol protest, which the corporate media is still trying to call a riot, even as more and more information surfaces that the demonstrators were actually invited into the Capitol building to be set up for a media event to discredit them and the Trump supporters here. Now, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is out there playing the sympathy card and says that she has been in sympathy after the Capitol protest that she believes was an all-out attempted coup against the government of the United States of America. Let's all feel sorry for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Meanwhile, this is a very alarming story. It came out of BizPak Review. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki seemed to admit late last week President Joe Biden is concerned that a number of U.S. Capitol Police officers died during the January 6th protests at the U.S. Capitol. And, of course, that did not happen. There was one officer who died of a stroke the day afterwards, but no officers were killed on January 6th. So we have a president that is really, really out of touch with reality. And I don't know about you, but that's going to keep me awake at night. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is back. He is announcing rallies in Florida, Georgia, Ohio, and North Carolina. And I'm sure they're going to be well attended, and there'll be the usual crowd of agent provocateurs trying to stir up troubles there. Story coming out of Investment Watch blog. Somebody actually did a poll about 2024 on the theory that Donald Trump is going to run again, that he is going to get the Republican nomination, and that he'll be running against Kamala Harris. And if it does come down to that, Trump is going to beat Kamala Harris and regain the presidency that way if he is not reinstalled in the wake of the emerging election fraud scandal. Over in Mayor Lori Lightfoot, Chicago, 35 people were shot, 7 of them fatally, Friday into Saturday night. And the Chicago Sun-Times reported exactly 36 shooting victims as of 10:30 p.m. Central Time Saturday night. 2 people were shot and killed Friday night following an argument, which resulted in the man opening fire on a 23-year-old woman and an 18-year-old male who was with her, killing both of them. So Chicago's definitely on my list of places to visit now that I'm back here living on the mainland. Meanwhile, the Chicago Fraternal Order of Police has issued a vote of no confidence in Mayor Lori Lightfoot and Police Superintendent David Brown. This should be rattling City Hall, although Mayor Lightfoot says this is actually a badge of honor, and she'd better go back to the dictionary and look up the words badge and honor, because I don't think it is. Story coming on out of legalinsurrection.com. Support for Black Lives Matter is falling rapidly. It is falling among white people, which is not surprising. It is falling among Hispanics. And surprisingly, support for Black Lives Matter is dropping among the black population. So are they going to start getting more violent to try and use fear to coerce support, or are they going to hopefully just sort of fade away into the woodwork and trouble us no more? Over in Los Angeles, there is a recall effort to recall Los Angeles District Attorney George Gascon. The recall is officially underway. So out in California, a lot of recalls going on. They're trying to get Newsom out of there, and now they're going after the Los Angeles DA. Over in Maricopa County, a lawyer representing Maricopa County itself has demanded that the 2020 auditors preserve all documents, dropping hints that there may be some kind of a lawsuit in the offing to declare the audit illegal or somehow get it stopped or blocked. The latest spin we're getting from the Democrats is that the auditors are the ones committing massive fraud and need to be stopped. Getting on to the COVID-19, yes, it's still out there. It's still a problem. And there's a video by Kate Wand, and we link to it from whatreallyhappened.com, where Canadian doctors are now being censored and told not to say anything about COVID other than what the government has sanctioned as being the authoritative source. Now, there's been a new development over in Wuhan. It has turned out, that three Wuhan lab researchers went to the hospital all the way back in November 2019 with what appeared to have been COVID. Dr. Fauci is now saying that he's no longer 100% sure that COVID developed naturally, and now he's demanding a full investigation into what those dastardly Chinese have been doing. This could be hoisting with his own petard because of indications that whatever China was doing with the COVID-19 vaccine was on behalf of and involved various U.S. government entities. So that could backlash on him rather nastily. Another story on the same line, this one from the Wall Street Journal, talking about how the growing awareness of the three researchers from the Wuhan Institute of Virology is fueling the debate on just where COVID-19 came from. Originally, it was claimed it was going to be the wet market, then it came from bats. And I've been saying all along, given the closeness of that BSL-4 facility, that somebody may have dropped a test tube, and that may have been exactly what happened. Story coming out of the Gateway Pundit, describing Dr. Fauci as the rat in a trap, admitting that COVID may have been man-made, and going back even further, acknowledging that there was U.S. funding to these Chinese labs. So that's kind of interesting. And now Tucker Carlson, good for Tucker Carlson, I'm amazed he's still on the air, but he did a segment talking about vaccine injuries from the COVID vaccine and asking why thousands of people are dying from the vaccine. And so Tucker Carlson, has broken the media silence that has sort of become the hallmark of any discussions of the adverse effects of some of these vaccines. And when you're talking about the younger population, the ones who just don't get COVID, the ones who don't die from it, and now they're being vaccinated and they're starting to die, which means in that age group, the vaccine is killing more people than the virus does. And that puts us back in 1976 territory and the swine flu debacle, where that vaccine was killing more people than the virus was itself. Story coming on out of Global Research up in Canada. They're talking about this German scientist, Professor Andreas Greinacher. He's a blood expert from the University of Greifswald. And they've apparently discovered that the AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson vaccines contain these proteins that are linked to the deadly blood clots. And these two viral vector vaccines contain genetically modified cold viruses that on injection trigger an autoimmune response. And stray proteins, along with a preservative used specifically in the AstraZeneca jab known as ethylenediamine tetraacetate acid, or EDTA are directly responsible for causing the blood clots. Now, Claire and I, we're very lucky. We did get the Johnson & Johnson because we couldn't see her mother without a vaccine. And at the time, there were no adverse reactions being reported. Now they are, of course, and both Claire and I have got vaccine regret, as it were. Senator Rand Paul is saying that he's not going to get the vaccine. And he says that he has not seen any evidence proving that the vaccine is any more effective than having actually survived COVID itself. So he does not see a reason to get the shot. And he says, until they show me evidence that people who have already had the infection are dying in large numbers or being hospitalized or getting very sick, he said he just made his own decision. He is not going to get the vaccine. Story coming out of Natural News, there's been an analysis of data coming on out indicating that Big Pharma knew the COVID vaccines would actually worsen and prolong the pandemic, which, of course, is a great business model for them. Keep everybody afraid. Keep everybody sticking those needles in their arm. Money, 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 money. So, anyway. Over in Slovakia, there's a newly released report showing that the COVID tests are contaminated with nanotech hydrogels and lithium. And they're saying lithium is used in the lipid compound coating nanobots that are inserted into the hydrogels for ballistic delivery of biological agents. So they're out there on the forefront of claiming that this is actually some form of biological warfare. Something that really is of concern over in India, this is reported by BBC, they now have almost 9,000 cases of this rare black fungus, and it is an epidemic that is hitting thousands of people who were treated for COVID-19. It has a mortality rate of 50%. And they're saying amputation, including of eyes, is the only way to stop the infection. So that's a really ugly situation over there. Over in Sweden, the public health agency is dropping the PCR tests because RNA from viruses can be detected for months after the infection. In other words, you can have the COVID infection, you can get over it, you can have natural immunity, but a PCR test is going to show you are still positive when you are, in fact, not. Okay. Last week, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration issued a statement that employers could be held liable for adverse reactions if they mandated the vaccines as a condition of employment. Well, this week, somebody got to them because they have now pulled that guidance and saying that, no, your employers are now just as indemnified as Big Pharma is. And again, it's all about the Benjamins. Over in Rutgers University, they were the first university to announce they would require the COVID vaccine for all students returning in the fall. Hundreds of universities have now followed suit. This has prompted a protest rally held at Rutgers as students and parents push back against the vaccine mandates. Now, anyway, getting to the international news, there's been a bit of a political upset. Belarus has been accused of literally hijacking a Ryanair European jetliner and engaging in an act of state terrorism when it forced the Ryanair flight to perform an emergency landing at Minsk after a bomb threat. While the plane was on the ground, an opposition blogger critical of President Lukashenko was arrested and taken away. And so the Polish prime minister has said the plane had been hijacked and accused Lukashenko of a reprehensible act of state terrorism. The reaction around the world has been pretty intense. U.S. Secretary of State Blinken is leading condemnation of Belarus President Lukashenko after forcing the plane to land and arresting the journalists. They're claiming KGB agents were on board and that a MiG-29 threatened to shoot the flight down. That has not been documented, and the claim of a bomb on board turned out to be a hoax. Now, here is where it gets interesting, where the United States is in high dudgeon over the arresting of this blogger. This is the same government that has Julian Assange rotting in jail in Belmarsh for having told Americans in the world about how our wars are being conducted. And let's not forget Edward Snowden, who is still living in exile in Russia. So it's a little bit of a double standard there. You know, when they can use it to bash Belarus, it's an outrage. At all other times, it's just business as usual. The European Union is threatening Belarus with reprisals after the Ryanair flight emergency landing in Minsk. And the incident has triggered a wave of criticism from European leaders who accused the Belarusian authorities of meddling with the European Union's civil aviation, and NATO said diverting the flight was serious and dangerous. Airlines in that part of the world are now rerouting their flights to keep them from flying over Belarus. Getting on down to Israel and Palestine, Joe Biden is out there trying to take credit for the ceasefire between Israel and Palestine, even though that was brokered by Egypt. That's why it came as such a surprise for Biden. He was opposed to it. He was cheering Israel on. All of a sudden, they've got the ceasefire brokered by Egypt, and Biden steps in and says, yes, we've done really, really good. But Egypt is still restricting support for Palestine despite brokering that Gaza truce. Egypt has been vocal in demanding calm in the occupied Palestinian territories since the beginning of Israel's crackdown on the East Jerusalem neighborhood of Sheikh Jarrah and inside the Al-Aqsa Mosque in May. The United Nations is saying that Israeli aggression is greatly worsening the already dire situation in the besieged Gaza Strip. And in a statement yesterday, UN Humanitarian Coordinator of the Occupied Palestinian Territory, Lynn Hastings, issued a warning saying Palestinians endured unimaginable suffering during less than 2 weeks of Israel's brutal airstrikes against the densely populated enclave. And she went on to say the ceasefire must be solidified with all avoiding provocation. Now that gets us into Israel's behavior, because once again yesterday, Israeli settlers stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque under the protection of Israeli security forces. They got onto the platform between Al-Aqsa and the Dome of the Rock and performed Jewish rituals there. And it feels to me like somebody in the Israeli government is trying to provoke a reaction from Hamas so they can say that Hamas violated the ceasefire, but so far Hamas isn't biting it. Meanwhile, right-wing violence is gripping Israel. There are reports of Palestinians being lynched. And in the aftermath of this recent upset, Israeli forces were found to have deliberately targeted two water pipelines in the Al-Safdawi area, cutting supplies to 20% of the residents of Gaza City. Now, cutting off food and water to a civilian population is, in fact, a war crime, and we need to keep that in mind. Physicians located in Gaza are recounting the airstrikes that happened against clinics and medical staff. Israel was picking their targets very carefully. Israel destroyed over 33 media offices during the Gaza bombing, including that of Associated Press. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it. As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And welcome back to our show here. And in the aftermath of Israel's attacks on Gaza, there are protests all over the world. Now, as I mentioned before, despite the provocations at Al-Aqsa, the ceasefire with Gaza is holding. And meanwhile, there are demonstrations around the world. There were thousands of people in the streets of New York City holding signs saying abolish Israel. And protests are also planned in other U.S. cities as well. Now, Joe Biden is out there saying there has been no shift in his commitment to Israel. And he's out there defending Israel and what they did in their brutal 11-day bombing campaign in Gaza. And Biden also came out and said that a two-state solution is, in fact, the only answer to the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians. And amazingly enough, I actually agree with him on that. I think it's time for the two-state solution to come into being. Of course, Israel doesn't want a two-state solution. They want it all. Biden has also agreed to rearm Israel to the teeth. He's going to replenish their Iron Dome missile supply. I think those go for like $100,000 a pop. And he's saying Israel has the right to defend itself as they're invading Palestine and bulldozing their homes and burning their crops and shooting their children. And there is, of course, this additional $735 million in arms all of which ultimately, one way or the other, you will pay for it all. Anthony Blinken is also out there saying that a two-state solution is the only way to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So maybe as cooler heads are finally going to prevail, and somebody's going to say, look, you know, Israel has got to write a constitution. They've got to draw their borders. They've got to start behaving like a modern nation and not a bunch of Bronze Age tribal warlords. Netanyahu is out there trying to keep the fear factor up because it's going to be keeping him out of jail, apparently, saying that any attacks from Gaza will be met with a whole new level of force. And Netanyahu said, if Hamas thinks we will tolerate a drizzle of rockets, it is mistaken. Well, it wasn't exactly a drizzle. It was a pretty steady attack. And despite the, or rather contradicting the propaganda coming on out about Iron Dome, about half of those Gaza missiles got through Israelis' defenses. Okay. Now, for a while there was actually a law that made it illegal for satellite mapping technologies to show high-quality images of Israel, the occupied Palestinian territories, and the Gaza Strip. Now, that law expired last year, all right? But Google says that it has no plans to unblur the maps of Israel and Gaza and the West Bank. Google thinks it's really none of your business what's going on the ground over there. Which gets me to this story coming out of Middle East Eye, talking about how social media was used and abused during the 11-day conflict between Gaza and Palestine. And we saw it all the pro-Israel propaganda, bovine excrement just oozing out of our screens, out of our smartphones and tablets. And it was pretty intense how the propaganda warfare was going on. The good news is, based on all the protests and public opinion polls, the propaganda really didn't work. And there's an article over at Electronic Intifada talking about polls of U.S. voters showing that Israel did not win the support of the U.S. voters during the Gaza massacre. And that's probably because Americans at bottom are fair people and understand the Palestinians are a captive, occupied population. And just like the French resistance fought back against the Nazis, the Hamas has a right to fight back against the occupying Israeli government. Over in Indonesia, they're having problems with armed rebels, and they're getting ready for a troop surge in Papua to wipe out the armed rebels. It's a new security crackdown on armed separatists in the central highlands of Indonesia's restive Papua region, and it will be maintained until they are wiped out. So the whole world is in turmoil. Over in Myanmar, the junta wants to prolong their time in office. They have banned the Suu Kyi party, and they want to ban that party. Responding to media reports, the party would be dissolved for alleged voter fraud. Now, remember, that is the reason the military staged the coup d'etat to begin with, is, you know, accusations of massive election fraud in the last election. They are still promising to have new, honest elections within the next 2 years. All right, we're coming up here on another commercial break, and we'll be back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking about Myanmar. And there's another story coming out of there from U.S. News that more than 125,000 school teachers in Myanmar have been suspended by the military authorities for joining a civil disobedience movement to oppose the military coup last February. And so the suspensions have come just days before the start of a new school year. Some teachers and parents are boycotting as part of the campaign that has paralyzed the country since the coup cut short a decade of democratic reforms. Well, again, we get back to that issue. If that last election was indeed fraudulent, then, you know, there's definitely an issue there. Over in Tunisia, somebody leaked a document in which the Tunisian president was urged to seize control of the country from the elected government to try and establish what is being described as a constitutional dictatorship. And this was contained in a document passed to Middle East Eye dated May the 13th. The U.S., meanwhile, denies funding the Tunisian President Kais Saied's 2019 election campaign. And these were claims coming from an opposition group against the backdrop of the political crisis in the North African country. So once again, the U.S. is being outed for meddling in other people's elections, and then they turn around and scream, how dare Russia meddle in our elections? You know, we're the only ones allowed to do that. Over in Turkey, their interior minister, Süleyman Soylu, has suspended security cooperation with the United States. They have suspended joint training and programs between Turkish and American police forces, denied early U.S. access to Turkish police intelligence on suspects, and refused to share information regarding ongoing Turkish investigations with American counterparts. So the diplomatic strains are showing over there. Another story, this one coming on out of CNN, no less, and basically it's attacking critics of the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. And I was rather surprised to see CNN take this position, but they're basically saying that as soon as Biden announced U.S. forces would leave Afghanistan by September, there were all kinds of objections, and they're saying they're missing the important points. In the years prior to the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan, all the way back in 2001, Afghanistan and Pakistan were home to four international terror groups. Now, as a result of the constant warfare, the Pentagon estimates the number of such terror groups has grown to more than 20. Now, second, when the U.S. first invaded Afghanistan, al-Qaeda counted about 400 members worldwide. It has since spawned branches and offshoots, including the Islamic State, in dozens of countries. Total membership is now in the tens of thousands, and they have at times controlled entire cities in multiple countries. So it seems like the United States solution actually created more problems. Over in Syria, they're getting ready for their elections Wednesday, actually, they're going to start. And already the United States and its allies are out there saying, oh, this is ridiculous. You know, we're going to dismiss the election results. And the reason they're going to do that is because Assad is probably going to win re-election in a landslide, and the West does not have a puppet candidate in the race that they can promote. So they're just going to dismiss the whole thing. Anthony Blinken is now downplaying the chances of a nuclear deal with Iran, saying the U.S. has seen no sign Iran will comply with the assorted U.S. demands being made for sanctions relief. Now, Iran's position is really quite simple. Back when the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action was signed, the U.S. agreed to remove sanctions, and Iran made several guarantees about access and inspections of their nuclear facilities. And Iran complied with all of that. The United States kept the sanctions in place and added more on top of there. So Iran's position right now is, if you want to go back to the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, let's go back to the original sanctions relief. The United States is now saying, well, we'll relieve the sanctions if you'll agree to these additional demands. And Iran is saying that would be completely impractical. So now part of that JCPOA deal involved access to nuclear sites by international inspectors, and Iran allowed those inspections to continue for a finite amount of time after the deal had ended. But as of yesterday, Parliament Speaker Mohammed Bagir Kalibaf said that IAEA inspectors will no longer have access to surveillance images of the country's nuclear sites. Now, we can count on the corporate media to scream, well, Iran is building a bomb, Iran is building a bomb, Iran is building a bomb. But Iran's position is simple. If you're not going to keep your half of the bargain, then neither are we. Okay. Now, the good news is, story coming on out of Global Research, saying that because of the shifting Middle East alliances, especially Saudi Arabia moving close to Iran, that war with Iran may actually be on hold, that they may be backing away from trying to launch that because it will create a bigger ruckus than the U.S. is prepared to deal with. Another story along the same lines, this from Sputnik News, talking about a rapprochement between Saudi Arabia and Iran and saying that there could very well be a deal for closer ties between the two countries. And that would definitely change the dynamics in the Middle East. Senators have threatened to cut the Pentagon's funding if it cannot pass an audit next year. Now, we all know the gigantic sums of money, just unimaginable amounts of money that disappear into the Pentagon every year without any accountability. In fact, if you don't remember all the way back in 2001 on September 10th, Donald Rumsfeld got up there and admitted that there was some $3 trillion that had gone into the Pentagon and nobody knew where it wound up. They just couldn't find it. And it should have been the military economic scandal of the year, but luckily for Donald Rumsfeld, the very next day was 9/11, and the missing Pentagon trillions vanished off the news. And that aircraft that plowed into the Pentagon just happened to hit the offices of the auditors who were trying to find where that money had got off to. So, anyway. Speaking of economic news here, story out of Investment Watch blog, pick your Fed poison, tanking markets or fatal inflation. And they're talking about the link between the Federal Reserve propping up our stock market with tons and tons of instantly created money. And then as that money percolates out to the general public, it's driving up prices and creating inflationary pressures. Okay. Now, the Federal Reserve is starting to talk tough. They're talking to Treasury dealers in the Congress saying, we can't count on you, so we are going to take charge. And there are two narratives about the Fed's agenda. The official narrative is that the Fed's mandate is to keep inflation under control while promoting full employment. Obviously, they have failed on both of those. The unofficial mandate that's obvious to us all is they exist to prop up assets, especially the stock market, which has become the Fed's preferred signifier of prosperity and the righteousness of Federal Reserve policies. Okay. Story coming on out of the Daily Mail. Meat eaters are getting hit the hardest as inflation sees grocery bills soar, and we are definitely seeing it here. We were talking to some friends we had left behind on Oahu, and they said it's just gone right through the roof there, that we got out just in time. Two-thirds of Americans are now saying that the price of beef and chicken has rocketed since the start of this year. Now, it's not as bad here in Indiana because we're right in the middle of farming country and there's a lot of small-scale farming going on that kind of meets the local need. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is back at the White House, which he doesn't deserve to be, but that's another matter entirely. He is reportedly going to drop student loan forgiveness from next week's budget. And so this is another campaign promise he made that he is about to break, where he is not going to include the student loan forgiveness after pledging to cancel $10,000 from all student loans while he was on the campaign trail. Well, he's probably figuring since he had to steal the election anyway, he's off the hook for all the campaign promises he made. Meanwhile, and this is probably going to help in the short term, the Treasury is distributing $6.1 billion with a B to assist renters and landlords through the Emergency Rental Assistance Program. And it's almost kind of an inevitability that they did this because the eviction moratorium has to end at some point. The renters and mortgage payers still owe all that money. The holders of the mortgages and the landlords are themselves suffering tremendous financial harm because of the collapse of the cash flow. And so the Treasury is basically going to try and plug that hole. It's not a long-term solution. The long-term solution is to revitalize American manufacturing and bring back those high-paying manufacturing jobs. This whole idea of a service economy is a complete disaster. They sold that to us back in the 1980s, and it simply has not worked out. The service economy is trying to make a nation prosperous by doing each other's laundry for a fee. And it does increase tax revenue opportunities for the government, but it doesn't bring new wealth into the country, and that's really what is needed. Now, we have been talking about electric vehicles, the upside and the downside. We've been talking about how a lot of these autopilot systems are not as clever as we have been told they would be. And we've been looking at the problem that there isn't enough generation capacity in this country for a significant part of the population to drive electric vehicles. There simply isn't enough electricity to keep those batteries full at all time. We've been talking about what's going to happen with all that gasoline, because you can't just turn it off at those refineries. When the raw petroleum goes into the bottom of the cracking towers, stuff comes out at different levels. And they find markets to sell that stuff to, and whatever they can't, they burn off at the top of the refinery. And one of those products that comes on out is gasoline, and they can't just stop that. It's still going to come on out. What are they going to do with it? You know, burn it off into the atmosphere? That kind of sort of negates the whole idea of the electric vehicle. But there's a new problem that is surfacing now, and it has to do with the fact that electric vehicles aren't buying gasoline, and therefore they are not paying gasoline taxes. And that means that funds for the construction and maintenance of the roads are starting to dry up. And last week, Washington Governor Jay Inslee basically vetoed a statewide ban on gas-powered car sales by 2030, fearing that all electric cars on the roads would mean no more money to keep those roads put together. It's another example of government putting out a policy without really thinking it all the way through. Okay. An ex-border protection official, Victor Manjarrez, in an interview with Sputnik News, says that Joe Biden's lax immigration policy in his first 100 days in office has caused a disaster on the southern border, and there does not appear to be any kind of a plan to deter the influx of migrants illegally crossing into the United States. Now, last month, CPB data revealed U.S. border apprehension soared by more than 70% in March. But the president is saying, well, this is just seasonal, nothing to worry about. But no, as long as you hold out free goodies, they're going to come on and they're going to keep on coming. They really are. Getting into education here. There is this Manhattan school. It's a private school, $47,000 a year. It's the school Barron Trump used to attend, and they have now included a course on pornography at the junior level. And parents are understandably upset because this is a compulsory workshop on porn that included lessons on incest, role play, and OnlyFans. Now, I'm old-fashioned. I think schools should be about reading, writing, arithmetic, science, engineering, and things that allow us to build a technological society instead of all of this indoctrination. You know, we don't need to send kids to school to learn about porn. Trust me, they will discover it all on their own in good time. Down in Florida, there was this high school that triggered outrage because they photoshopped 80 female students' yearbook photos to make them look more conservative. They would bring up plunging necklines or anything that was revealing. And apparently the Photoshop work wasn't even that good. Parents got very, very angry. And now the Florida school is planning on refunding the outraged parents. So good for the parents on that one. I mean, the kids are the kids. And what's really interesting is the yearbook did not Photoshop any other photos of those same female students in their normal attire in the activity pages. It was just, you know, in the photos of them as students, and they got in there and they tinkered around a little bit. Over at Notre Dame, they are canceling Biden. Normally, Notre Dame gives the incumbent U.S. president an honorary degree, but because of Biden's views on abortion, they have canceled the degree, and Biden is not going to show up at the commencement ceremony after all. We've got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Politicians and preachers once sometimes told the truth. We didn't throw war's first stone and sacrifice our finest youth. With no video games or cell phones, a house felt like a home. Children fought and played together instead of on a computer alone. Big MacDonald had
Welcome back to our show here. And, you know, this transgender thing has really really torn at the soul of this country. And we're finally starting to see the states fight back on this issue. Tennessee is definitely in the forefront with what I would call common sense laws, although they're being denounced as anti-transgender. But Tennessee this year banned transgender athletes from playing in girls' public high school or middle school sports. They're going to require government buildings and businesses that are open to the public to post signs if they allow trans people to use multi-person bathrooms and other facilities associated with their gender identity. Public schools, meanwhile, will soon risk losing lawsuits if they let transgender students or employees use multi-person bathrooms or locker rooms that do not reflect their sex at birth. And Lee also signed legislation to require school districts to give parents 30 days notice before students are taught about sexual orientation or gender identity, and giving them the option to keep their kids out of such lessons. Like I said, old school reading, writing, arithmetic. Alrighty, we're going to go ahead and open the phone lines primarily because we have people already calling on in. Area code 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Paul in New Jersey. Hello, Paul. Welcome back to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. Michael, if it would be okay. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, Michael, I'd like to talk about Bitcoin. You know, and I hear a lot of people talking about that Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency, and the reason for Bitcoin is because they have a problem, so-called, with Federal Reserve and other banks and their fiat currency.
Yes.
Now, to me, a fiat currency is, you know, the word comes from fiat or the whim or decree, and that the banks can just conjure up money out of nothing with no banking. Now, my problem with Bitcoiners is that, hold up, is that they, you know, they claim to be against fiat currency, and what are they creating with Bitcoin? Another fiat currency. Bitcoin is creating money out of nothing. There's nothing backing it. And although they claim it's limited, you know, that could actually be part of their scam because they didn't, you know, go through the diligence of trying to at least go through, you know, getting a vault filled with gold. You know, they took the shortcut. Now,
well, I think the attraction of Bitcoin for a lot of people is, first and foremost, it's decentralized. There is no central Federal Reserve-style bank that is pulling the strings on all of it, and I think that's really the main reason people are looking not just to Bitcoin but to all of these cryptocurrencies. They want to have some kind of medium of exchange that governments and banks can't tinker with.
Yeah, can I hold?
Yes, you can. We'll be right back after station identification.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, And when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.